Sometimes I feel like sermon topics are one of those things that, depending on what the sermon topic is, it's been Olympics. It's like, we're talking grace of God. We love that. Let's all give it a 10. Can you imagine, 10 for a grace of God sermon? If there's a sermon on heaven, I would think that would get 10s. Everybody says, I love the sermons on heaven. Let's do more of those. Today we're preaching about giving, and I can imagine the zeros, right? It's like, we don't like those sermons. Those are the sermons that aren't as fun. And somebody asked, why are we doing giving today? We're doing a series on worship, and we could have done prayer, and we could have done, there were several things we didn't do in this series. Next week, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. But I think giving may be the most misunderstood act of worship that we participate in. And so we're going to kind of talk about that today. And as Christians, we all love options. As people in general, we love options. When we get ready to go somewhere, my wife and I, when we get ready to go somewhere to speak somewhere, her suitcase always has more stuff in it than mine, right? Now, she is a woman, I get that. But I'll ask her sometimes, we're going for 2 days. Why do you have 4 pair of shoes? That confuses me a little bit. And she'll go, I don't know how I'll feel Tuesday, if I want green shoes or if I want white shoes. It all depends. She says, I want options when I get there. For me, when I'm traveling, options mean, all right, am I taking my black belt or my brown belt? And that's pretty much it. So I don't need a lot of options on packing, right? But buying a car, we guys love all the options. We want to know, what can we get on this? What bells and whistles come with this? And we like those options. Coffee used to be, I want black, hot, and large, you know. And now, sometimes it takes 3 sentences to order your cup of coffee because we have so many options on coffee. As Christians, sometimes we want options, but God doesn't give us options. And what I mean is this. Sometimes as Christians, we go, well, I want to like loving, and I want to like joy, but I don't want to like patience, and I don't want to like this. I want to like singing and worship, but I don't want to like giving. I want options. I want to be able to do some of them without doing the other ones. And giving is always kind of one of those. It's kind of like, that's an option thing. And I want us to talk today about what God says about giving in the Bible and why it is so important, why giving is something that God makes a big deal about. Sunset has always been a good giving congregation. I don't know if you saw your handout this morning, but we're celebrating 10-year anniversary. We actually realized this earlier this year. Bill Tracy realized, hey, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary of paying off the note on the building here, which was a big deal. That it was a big chunk. And 10 years ago, the elders had encouraged the members at Sunset, let's go to work and let's pay it off early. And the reason behind that was because, one, we wanted to quit paying on buildings, we wanted to quit paying interest, and we wanted to start doing better things with the funds that were given the church. And so now we're very thankful that we can do more benevolence, we can do more outreach, we can do more mission work because people were willing to give. And so sometimes people will go, so why are we talking about giving? We obviously gave 10 years ago, and that was a big deal. Well, we're talking about giving because giving is a big deal to God. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with giving and being generous. It is a biblical discipline. It is something God has told us to do. And the Bible talks more about giving and generosity than it does a lot of other things. I want you to notice this little chart up here. I thought this was interesting. I didn't count them. This is somebody else who did. But the Bible talks about money and generosity more than any other subject in the Bible. Get this, all right? The word believe is used 272 times. The word pray, you would think, well, praying is such an important thing. It is. It is talked about 371 times. Love, I mean, that is the core of faith, hope, and love. Love is the one talked about 714 times. But did you know the word give is used 2,162 times in the Bible? that three times as much God spoke about giving as he did the next one on the topic, which was love. Obviously, it is a big deal to him. He obviously wants us to catch something. Does that make sense? Because he talks about it so many times. I went by and checked on a friend this week at LCU, freshman, moving in. And I had Childress kid. And I saw his family in there. And I said, has Dad given you the speech? And he said, oh, all summer long. And I said, do you know it? And he goes, oh, I know it well. And I said, be patient. He'll probably need to give you the speech of what to do and not to do one more time before he leaves today. Because we want our kids to realize this is important to us. So don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, and do this. So that was the speech because it was important. And here's God going, I'm going to give you this speech over and over because this is so important. That you participate in this, that you be someone who is generous, someone who is a giver. We might not like to talk about giving much, but obviously God thought it was important enough to mention three times more than anything else. Half of Jesus' parables were about giving. I find that interesting. And maybe the most popular verse in the Bible, the one that everyone quotes more than any other, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Think about that for a second. So the first thing I want you to catch this morning, I got three or four or five little points right here. Number one, we give because God has given to us. God is the greatest giver. And when God has given and given and given and given, and believe it or not, you're created in his image. You were created to be like God. You were created to be a giver like God. And God's greatest gift was his son to us. But it wasn't just that. The Bible is so full of verses that talk about how God has given to us over and over and over. If you're in Bible class, you studied the first week of Ephesians that we're doing right now. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has blessed us in every spiritual blessing. God has given you every spiritual blessing there is. So basically, when God comes and he goes, I need to bless these folks, he doesn't sprinkle some little blessings in your life. He doesn't shake a little bit of blessing in your life. He dumps. He just loads you up with spiritual blessings because he's a giving God. And when he gives, we also must be givers as well. Because we're created in his image. That is how we're supposed to be. I loved the little book, Run with the Horses, by Eugene Peterson. It was a little book, and in his book, he talks about these little baby swallows. So there was three of them in a nest that he got to watching. And the mama would come every day and feed these little swallows. And the time came for the three little swallows to leave the nest. And so there was the day he watched that she kind of scooted the first one out to the end of the branch and then scooted him off the branch, and he sort of started falling and then wings kicked in and he flew like he was supposed to. And the second bird, the same. But the third bird was not going to be bullied by mama. And that third bird was like, no, I am not doing this. We are going to stay right here in this nest. And mama scooted that little bird to the end of the thing, and that little bird, just about time it ran out of limb, it turned upside down and refused to let go. And you know what Mama Swallow did? Mama Swallow, without any hesitation, leaned over and started pecking on that little bird's talons to get it to let loose. And it wasn't because Mama Swallow was mean. It was because Mama Swallow knew that little bird was created to fly. And it was never going to be everything it was supposed to be until it flew. That is exactly how we are. God has created us to be givers, to give in every form of our life. And we are not going to be like God, like he wants us to be, until we become givers like God. Look at number two on our list. If you're following along on your handout, giving shows where our heart is. It shows where my heart is. I realize this, that when I'm giving, it's important for me to know, hey, I know where I realize my treasure is. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so I realize by where I'm spending my money, where my treasure is. Is my treasure in heaven or is my treasure in a hobby? I realize what my priorities are. Are my priorities, are on my house? Is that where my house is? Is money what is going into eating out all the time, to where I just don't have a lot of extra because that's where my heart is? Maybe I'm putting all my money into clothes or my kids' sports. Is that where my heart is? And so it's a good heart check to go, where is my money going? Where is everything I want to go? Where is everything going? Every time I'm generous, every time I give, I move my heart in a Godward direction, realizing that I am laying by in store for what is to come, not what is just here on this earth. Personally, it helps me to keep my priority state straight. And it reminds me when I give that this world is not my home. Look at number three on our list. We're zipping through these this morning, all right? Number three shows me that I trust God. If you've got your Bible, I would love for you to read this with me. Malachi 3. We've been in Malachi a couple of weeks ago. You just go to Matthew 1 and back up about two pages, okay? That'll help you find. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, God is talking to his people about giving. And he says this, and this is just absolutely incredible what he says. I'm going to start in verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. God says this, should people cheat God? Well, that's kind of, everybody knows that answer. No, I'm not going to cheat God. And yet, God says, yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And God says, you have cheated me in tithes and offerings that are due to me. God has said, I want you to come to me. And when you come to me, don't come to me empty-handed. And God says, you have not brought your tithe to me that God could, told them to bring at that time. Verse 9, because of this, notice this, you are under a curse. You and your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, notice this, the Lord of heaven's army says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me, test me, put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insect and disease, and your grapes will not fall from the vine when they are ripe. Verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. So let me explain what he's saying here. This is just an incredible text. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but the Bible is full of promises that God has told us that depending upon if we're generous, he's generous. And in this text, the amazing thing, the only place in the Bible that it ever does this, God actually tells them, just test me, try me. Yeah, I learned two things growing up. Number one, you don't test mama, all right? Don't test mama and don't test God. God has said, don't you test me. The one place in the Bible where God says, test me, is right here when he says, you try and outgive me, you can't do it. Seriously. God says, you put me to the test. You cannot outgive me. He's saying, I dare you to trust me. I am more generous than you are, and I'm more generous than you will ever be. And it's not just a financial thing. It's in a faith thing. It's a giving thing. It's a trusting thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, all the physical things, I'll take care of. I'll make sure you get what you need. Absolutely amazing. Number four, I want you to catch this. Giving helps me to grow spiritually. Giving helps me to grow spiritually. Giving helps you grow. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it'll be poured out in your lap. For with what is measured to you will be measured to you. We are blessed when we give. Think about different things, how we give for a second, all right? If you've ever taught a Bible class, you probably notice that you put in a lot of effort to study for this class. And when class is over, you may very well have got more out of the class than the students did. Not because you're a bad teacher, because you had to prepare for it. Does that make sense? I have been on multiple mission trips where I'm supposed to be going to bless other people, but I always come home feeling what? Very, very blessed. It's like, I don't know if they got anything out of it at all, but I know I did. You just go down the list of different things. I've heard of camp counselors that work with teen camps, and they go and they spend a whole summer working with teenagers, and they come home going, hey, I was supposed to pour into them, and yet I've come out so full. Because it helps us grow. When we give, we grow. We're alive. You ever heard of what you understand the Dead Sea? You understand a dead pool of water, that's where nothing is coming into it, or something's coming into it, but nothing comes out of it. That's kind of the Christian life. God, if God's pouring into your life and nothing is coming out of it, then there's deadness there. There's something is not right, because we grow spiritually when we are people who just give. When we get right down to it, everything that we give because it's not ours anyway. You know, I talk about my stuff, and my stuff really isn't my stuff. And honestly, your stuff, it's not your stuff. I talk about my house, hey, come over to my house, but it's really not my house. God's kind of lent me that house to use. Does that make sense? The money in the bank, it may have a bank account number and it may have my name on it, but it's God's money. God has given me everything that I have. The tools in my garage, I learned a long time ago, it doesn't hurt to lend my tools. It doesn't bother me at all when I realize those aren't my tools anyway. You want to come borrow a tool, I'll lend you a tool, because they belong to God. He's just lending them to me to lend to somebody else to use. I learned this when I was a young boy, in a family of nine, we never had anything new, and somehow or another, my dad afforded a new car because he had to get nine people. So we got a station wagon, nine people in a car to go on a vacation. And it was brand new. We'd sit in the cars with the windows rolled down for hours just smelling the new smell. It was new. It was just the neatest thing. We were so excited. We all picked our seats out. We customized where we would sit. We were all so ready to go. 2 weeks after we got our new car, a family from church had asked my dad, said, would you mind us taking that on vacation? And he lent it. And I remember asking him, I was really confused, Dad, why would you lend our brand new car out to some people that I don't even know? And he said, because it's not our car. It belongs to God. And God has allowed us to use it, and we can share it with other people. And I learned a valuable lesson at that time from my dad, that everything we own, it may have our name on the title, but it really isn't ours. Everything is God's. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, and all who live in it, it's the Lord's. God has given you everything, and he just goes, give me some back. Give me some back. That's all he says. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel left Egypt, I would love to do a lesson on this sometimes. Do you remember God told the Egyptians, God changed the Egyptian hearts before they left Egypt. And the Israelites could walk into the Egyptians and go, hey, do y'all have money in your house? Yeah, we actually have some. Go, we would like to have it. Okay, take it. It's yours. And they left, literally left Egypt as slaves, as a very wealthy nation, because Egypt gave them all their wealth and they left. And one of the things God had told them was, don't you make that wealth more than it's supposed to be. And he actually told them in multiple places, and when you come before me in my tabernacle, when you come before me to ask me to bless you, do not come before me empty-handed. Do you see what God was saying? God's going, everything you've got that you left Egypt with is what I gave you. So when you show up and you ask me to bless you, when you show up to my tabernacle, don't come empty-handed and expect me to bless you. You bring something. It's like one of my kids one time talked me into, I broke the rules when I had four little ones and we didn't have a lot of money. I had one with me on a trip, and he said, oh, Dad, I'd like some M&Ms. We're getting gas. Could we get some M&Ms? And I thought, yeah, I got one kid today. I can afford one thing in M&Ms. And so we went in and took him forever to pick out his M&Ms, and he finally picked them out, got back in the car. He gets in his seat. I get in my seat. We're 2 miles down the road, and I look over and I go, I'd like some. I said, give me a couple of those M&Ms. And you know what he said? No. And I said, what? And he goes, no, these are mine. And I reminded him, I said, did I just not buy these for you? Do you not have these because you asked for them and you can't share two of the M&M's? I mean, there's what, 50 in your little package and you're not going to give me two? That's what we are when we do, when we don't give. When we're people who don't give, we're like telling God, no, sorry, you can't have any of this back. You can't have my M&M's. That's exactly what we're telling him. Look at number 5 on the list, all right? Almost out of time. This is perfect. This is going to be perfect timing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. When I give, I do not give reluctantly. I do not give out of obligation. Well, Trey said, I got to give. The church needs my money. Whatever it is, God says he loves a cheerful giver. He loves someone that wants to give, not somebody that has to give. I love that. And honestly, it's kind of fun to give, isn't it? When you start putting giving in the right attitude, giving is fun. I loved in Childress, I had a routine where I would go through the McDonald's parking lot and through the drive-thru, and I don't know how many times I'd look back and I'd go, hey, I'm going to buy whoever's, what'd they get back there? Coffee and a donut. I'll pay for theirs today. And I would buy. One day I'm coming through there and I go up to the first line to get my coffee and stuff, and I go, the guy in the car bought yours. And I thought, no way. That was really cool because I bought, and I immediately thought, okay, I'll buy the people behind me. So I look in the rearview mirror and I said, well, let me get the, and back there was a 15-passenger church van. And I told him, I said, I'm going to pay this forward later, all right, because I don't have that much cash. And I did, but giving is so much fun when you can find ways to give. Yes, give to God. Yes, give to the church. Yes, give to others. Be gracious in your giving. Be a good tipper. Buy someone's coffee. Pay for someone's lunch. Giving is fun, and that's the way that it's supposed to be. Nobody at Christmas times that's mature ever goes, hey, I cannot wait to see what you got. It's always about, I can't wait for you to see what I got you. Because it's about giving, not about getting. Let me give you these 5 little tips, because people are going to be asking, because I would. So how do I give and what do I give? Number 1, personally, you decide how much you're going to give. You decide. You honestly get to decide. In the Old Testament, God required them to give 10%. I'm going to say personally, I will just tell you, personally, as for me and my house, I think that's a good place to start. But the Bible said, hey, 10%. They lived under an old covenant that wasn't the greatest thing. They had all these laws and rules and everything else. We live under such a great covenant, a better covenant with a better Savior. I'm just saying, you decide how much, but you decide that. It's your place to decide how much you're going to give. That's between you and God. Number 2, this is really important. Do not tip God. Does that make sense? God's not looking for a tip. Meaning, you don't come to church on Sunday and you go, let's see what I got. I got a 5 and 2 ones. I may need that 5 for coffee. Here's 2 ones. Don't tip God. God's not looking for a tip. God's looking for someone who gives. And I hope you understand that correctly. Number 3, pre-plan. Do you remember, we've talked about it for 2 weeks, first fruits? God required people to give the first of the crops and the best of the animals. And so one of the things that I think is really, really important is we plan up front at the first of the month, here's what we're going to give. That's how God, I think, wants it. It's not, let me rephrase this, it's not a, we get down to the end of the month and there's 5 days left and you go, honey, have we paid the cable bill? Yeah, I think we have. Okay, then I think we may have enough to leave God a donation this week. That is not the kind of pre-planning that we do. Pre-planning means I'm going to decide up front what I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to give starting right there. Number 4, if you have children, I think this is so essential, teach your children to give. I remember vividly, my mom would give us 4 quarters. Actually, I think it was more like 50 cents back in the old days. But they would always be broke down to where a dime of it, she would go, here's your allowance for the week. Don't forget, 10 cents of that goes to God. And we would take our little part of what we got and we'd put it in a plate every Sunday. and we got used to giving. Give them a dollar when they're a little kid. Give them a dollar and say, hey, don't forget these four quarters. One of those quarters you need to put, start young teaching your children to be a giver. That is really, really important. And finally, giving blesses others. Understand that. This is really important. Some people say, out there in the world, there's tons of people who go, hey, churches just want your money. That has nothing to do with it. Does the church need funds to survive? Yes, this is a huge, active, alive church, and it doesn't survive unless somebody gives. And I'm thankful for the givers, and I'm thankful that this is a huge, active, alive, thriving church. And we're going to have to, it's going to bless us. Your giving blesses us. It blesses missionaries. It pays for salaries and light bills, and sometimes it has to pay for carpet that's 30 years old in a flag room, you know, whatever it is. And I'm thankful that it's not going to pay for a building anymore, because 10 years ago today, that building got paid off, and that's a beautiful thing. Dead churches don't need money, but live churches do. We have contribution boxes all over this building. There are always good things that your funds go for. So look at this final picture up here. I like this. When you understand why God has set up giving the way he has, why God has told you to be generous, instead of a bunch of zeros, you'll go, hey, I like giving. Giving can be fun. And you give those tens. It's like, this is not a sermon that hurts, because it's not about somebody that wants my money. It's about God who wants me to be disciplined in my giving. It helps me to grow. I'll be honest with you, I like sermons on giving. Doesn't bother me at all. It's healthy. It's a good reminder. I need to be reminded, where is my heart? Because where my heart is, that's where my treasure is going to be. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning, we can pray for you. If you're ready to become a Christian, if you have a need of any kind, if you want to come to the front during the song, we'll help you. Or you can catch us after services at the back, and we'll be happy to pray for you. Just let us know. But we'll have an invitation song at this time. Would you stand and let's sing together?